With everything going on right now, I felt it necessary for me to, I guess, add my opinion, since that's what the majority of us are doing. Now, like almost everyone else currently, especially Black America, I am disgusted and, of course, tired of the constant, I want to say targeting of, you know, Black men in the United States. Now, though I feel this way, and I know it's, at this point, because there's been so many, you know, deaths when it comes to Black men here in this country, it's almost impossible to really pinpoint an emotion because it's going to fluctuate. And that's normal. Now, the key word that I'm using here is emotion. Emotions fluctuate. That's what they do. That's what they're supposed to do. Emotions are not all bad, and they're not all good. The reason why emotions are good is because emotions display the fact that we're human, you know, and we have feelings. You know, it's normal to feel angry, it's normal to feel sad and, you know, upset and, you know, depressed and all the other emotions you want to, depression could be more than just an emotion, it could be clinical, but that's a different thing. What I'm saying is emotions is of the norm. Now, where emotions play a downfall is when you are someone who's being faced with a very distraught situation or something that's considered way more than you can bear, whether it be a single or a group or a couple, however you want to say it, when your emotions overtake your logic, and that's what emotions will do if you don't really have that temperance within yourself, that's when it becomes fatal. Am I saying that people are not supposed to riot? Am I saying that people are not supposed to express themselves? That's not what I'm saying. Now, I'm going to take you down a timeline, a historical timeline, so you yourself could understand where I'm coming from. We're going to take it back. We're going to take it back to the first Black Republic country in the world, free Black Republic country in the world, and that's Haiti. If you're listening and you did not know that, I'm going to need you to Google and to search and learn a few things about this country. Don't be so quick to judge its current state, and even then, its current state has everything to do with the story that I'm about to share with you. Now, we're going to take it back from the beginning, and we could even go before Haiti, you know, as a whole, because before that it was, you know, Saint-Domingue. We're not going to go into all the logistics of it. You're just going to have to Google it because, you know, it's history. You're not going to learn history in 10 minutes. But I could brush on it so I could bring us back to 2020 and what's going on with us currently, because everything starts from somewhere. It doesn't happen overnight. Now, the reason why I'm going back is because just recently, in my own meditation state, I was thinking to myself and I'm dissecting everything, and I'm just like, wait a minute. We misunderstood this whole thing. This whole notion of freedom, we misunderstood it. The same way that laws are amended and laws are changed, there are laws that are considered set in stone, whether they admit it or not. But if you're going to look at, you know, this judicial branch or this country, this legislative branch, this country, how they, you know, process laws and make laws and how they veto and all this other stuff, laws in itself are designed to be amended because it's supposed to be flexible. not rigid. Now, freedom in itself, or our freedom in Black America, is the same way. When Abraham Lincoln claimed it and said it, it wasn't something that it was just like, oh, okay, so here we are. And even the slaves back then knew that, because even after that law was passed, slaves were still being killed. There were still people that even had slaves. Which is why, even after the law was passed, because you can't change the mentality of people, just because you write it on paper and you state that this is what it is, doesn't necessarily mean people are just going to jump to it. It's very simple. It's almost like someone saying that getting married is going to curb their appetite to be not a cheat, not to step out. That's not going to change anything. You having a ring on your finger is not going to change your mentality. Something being declared on paper is not going to change the mentality. In many ways, it's just used as a means to camouflage. So we've been living in a state of camouflage. We've grown complacent and comfortable with the fact that, oh, okay, you know, freedom. How have we grown comfortable? Mainly through materialism. Many of us feel because we have all the shiny and fancy things, and you know, we have the car and the money, the jewels and everything, and of course we see it on TV and all of this, so in our mind, oh yeah, we've made it. We were there, because we couldn't get these things before. You know, we couldn't have the bling bling, and we couldn't have the big houses, and we couldn't do those things before. We couldn't own houses and all these things. But it's deeper than that. And what's going on right now is only evident to prove to you that it's deeper than that. And we're going to go back to Haiti. Haiti being the first country to declare, Black country to declare its freedom against European slavery. Now, I'm going to bring up a specific event. Now, there was a specific event that took place. It was a meeting that took place amongst the slaves. And in that meeting, they decided that, you know what? Enough is enough. We need to find a way that we need to bring these people down. And if we don't, our lives is not going to change. It's going to stay this way. Now, in this meeting, in this secret place, surrounded by alligators, another thing with Black ancestors, well, my ancestors, they were one when it came to this earth. They understood its purpose. They understood what it stood for, and they respected it, and they made themselves one with it, and this is why they were able to fight that good fight. One of my favorite movies, I want to say that, and the reason why the movie is so good is because it shows you that even of the indigenous people, you know, back then, how they use nature to fight the enemy, how they use their surroundings to their own advantage, because they were aware that they had more of a connection with earth than with their oppressors. Now, in this meeting, going back to the meeting, it was stated that they're going to poison the water. Water specifically, we all know water is life. Our main source, we're 97% water. Water is life. With that taking place, they went on a fast and then they partake in the water and the food. And once you poisoned water, water is used for everything. It's used to cook and to make everything. So now the reason why I bring up that scenario is because they did what they had to do because they were looking for a way out. Now, till this day, many people don't agree on how they decided to do it. The reason why many people don't agree, because they'll tell you that, oh, well, you know, it was malicious, you know, it was wrong. Why would they do that? It's not many people that are Christians. They'll tell you it wasn't the biblical way. You know, it's primitive. They allowed logic to silence their anger for a minute. Just for a moment. Because you can't think logically if your mind is in an uproar. How are you going to plan? What strategy are you going to have? How's it going to work? Being angry is fine. But in your state of anger, you have to be able to have some kind of self-control. And if you don't have it, you need to surround yourself with people that are able to be this way so you could train yourself to be the same way. It doesn't happen overnight. Going from 0 to 100, okay, fine. That's who you are and that's what it is. But what happens? Because what you fail to realize is you're constantly a puppet on strings. The chaos with no purpose is pointless. This is what I'm trying to prove. Or this is what I'm trying to send, the message that I'm trying to send. Chaos with no purpose is pointless. All the destruction that's taking place, you fail to realize that it's not going to stop the abuse and it's not going to stop the killing. Now, many would say, okay, so what do you expect them to do? What do you expect them to do? Because everyone is angry. You know, we're tired. We don't want to do this anymore. If I'm going to be really frank, and I'm going to be really honest, those are all words. Black people, the history of being black in itself, we are a resilient people. Our ancestors, the ones that came before us, our former black leaders, the ones that are no longer with us, all of them went through stages of anger. All of them went through stages of, you know, of being fed up. But at some point, they had to come up with something that was going to be more than just, okay, I'm mad and I'm going to blow this up. No. And pay attention closely. Everyone plays a role. This is what I really want to speak about. Even when Martin Luther King was protesting, and of course love, and you know, with nothing chaotic, but there was still chaos going on outside of what he was doing. Everyone plays a role. Don't lose your role and your purpose in what's going on, because not everyone is called to do the same thing. Some positions are temporary, some are long term. There will always be rioters. There will always be chaos. But are you doing it to just join? Because you don't know what your purpose is, or you don't know how to use your voice? What is your purpose in this fight? What are you supposed to do? Nelson Mandela, he decided not to use any force. His fight, the way he decided to fight, was with love. Now, if you take someone else like Malcolm X, who was more of an aggressive leader. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't agree on certain things, but they agreed on one thing. Logic. Coming together with a purpose. Now back to this meeting, and after poisoning the white man, of course, at the time. And that took place. First of all, you have to understand that at the time, slaves weren't considered a group of people that actually had, that were considered intelligent. Because to them, well, Europeans, they didn't know how to read. They didn't know how to speak. Now, what's funny about this is, I live in the United States of America, right? I speak American. That's my first language. But I also speak Creole. But let's just say that something happens and I have to move to Indonesia. Now, arriving in Indonesia, let's just say that where I decide to live, the only language that they speak is their native language. So let's say where I arrive in this small town and they speak Indian. Now, I get there. Imagine everyone pointing finger at me, be like, oh, well, they give me a book and I can't read it. I can't speak their language and I can't communicate. But to them, I'm considered dumb, or I'm considered unintelligent, or I'm considered someone that's not able to vouch for self. That doesn't make any sense, because how would you expect me to know to speak your language? Now, that's the funny thing with slaves, or the history, black history in itself. Now, you're saying that I don't know how to read and I don't know how to write, but I'm not from your country. I know how to communicate with my people. So I come here and you automatically label me and you separate me. Separation. Separation. You separate me. And for many, that separation alone caused mental conflict. One of the biggest battles that we have and that we had and we still have today is the battle of the mind. Once someone is able to control your mind and control how you're going to react, then that person has won, or that group has won. Because you'll forever be a puppet on their strings. Now, when you learn to move differently and to think differently, that puts you above your opponent. Strategy, logic, tactic. You can have war, because war is considered, to me, maybe not for everyone, war to me is considered organized chaos. You can have organized chaos, but if it's just random, then it serves no purpose. Throughout history, our ancestors have shown us different tactics and different ways to obtain the outcome that we want. But somewhere along the line, we dropped that baton. We became comfortable. Now, slaves didn't have technology. Well, there wasn't any kind of form of technology at that time. But there was unity. Now, the funny thing is, if I'm a slave, down the block, there's another slave. 2 miles away, there's another slave. 7 miles away, there's another slave. I don't need to know that slave. I don't need to meet that slave to know that that slave is being oppressed. I don't need to be in that household to know that there's abuse going on. This was something that was considered a given because we're all in the same boat. Which is why you'll find out in history, many slaves that, you know, ran to their freedom, they ran with people, with other slaves that they've never met. Because at different pinpoints, at different locations that you end up with another group. So what connected us, what made us one, was this unity that we had that was across the board. I didn't need to know you to help you. I didn't need to know you to make a difference. I didn't need to know you to put a hand out. Because I already knew that we're all the same and we're all looking for the same purpose. Now, were there slaves that were considered, you know, two-faced and, you know, whatever? Of course, fine. But we're talking about the majority here. Now, to bring my other point into play, logic. After logic, what I'm bringing up is now unity, where I was speaking about what I was speaking of. Until we are unified within ourselves, because our unity, or the way that it appears to be, it's temporary. It only springs up in a moment of necessity, and then it disappears. It dissipates. It wasn't like that before. So until that is where it is, we are forever going to have issues in this country or any other country that Black people are considered a taboo. So you want an outside group to respect you and to listen to you and to hear you, but you don't respect and you don't hear and you don't care for the ones that look just like you. How is that supposed to work? I know many won't agree with me, and that's fine. Being angry is fine. Being upset is fine. But what happens after that? What's really going to change after that? Until we are able to uproot the hate and the division that we have amongst each other, we're going to fail. We're always going to fail. And this is why it continues. And this is why our freedom, in many ways, has been an illusion. Our generation now, we've grown comfortable, including myself. Why? Because we look at it like, oh, that's Black history. They did it. They made it happen. You know, they took the beatings. They picked the cotton. They stood up when we couldn't vote. Stood up when we couldn't get married. Stood up when we couldn't go to school. Stood up when we couldn't ride the bus. Stood up when we couldn't have biracial relationships. Stood up everything you could think of. And because the laws were passed, and we're looking at it like, oh, okay, so we're good. But those laws that were passed, I'm not saying that they're not important. Of course they are. And has there been some sort of change? Of course. But with that being said, we were blinded by those laws, and underneath we were being cut at our ankles and we didn't even know. Or we did know, but we closed our eyes. and we ignored it because it's not my problem. I mean, I got a house on the hill and I got millions in my account, so it's not bothering me. Oh, I don't live in the hood anymore. That doesn't bother me. I'm not even from the hood. What? Well, technically speaking, I can't really be against it because my mother is white and, you know, my father is black and I'm mixed. So I don't know. You know, it's not really, it's different in my house. That's where we are today. Or that's where we've been since the new millennium, but we decided to just turn our backs because it didn't affect us, or we thought that it didn't affect us directly. Another prime example is, for example, Corona, COVID-19. Imagine if COVID-19 was only in Africa. You think it would have been such an uproar? You think it would have been such a huge, oh my God, what are we gonna do? No. It's because it became a world issue. COVID-19 proved to us that as much as we want to divide and separate, we're all one. We share one planet. We breathe all the same air. We're only divided by water. Besides that, we're all one. That's what COVID-19 has proven to us. But even then, once this subsides, we're going to go right back to the way that we used to be. So what I want, as you're listening to this recording, what I want you to understand, especially if you're of Black descent listening to this, what I need you to understand is, or what I want to leave you with is, being angry or being upset, what next? What's next? What are we going to do to prove to our ancestors that everything that they did wasn't a waste? What are we going to do differently with each other to prove to our oppressors that we're not what you think we are? We are one, for real. We just don't say Black Pride, but we actually live it. We don't only write songs about it, we actually make it happen. We don't only put it in movies, but it's a reality for us. We don't only write it on paper, it's a reality for us. We don't only promote it in commercials and on products, but that's who we really are. And we understand that we're living in this country and we're never going to be equal. And that's fine. But just because we're not going to be equal doesn't mean that we can't bring and rise up and make it so that our own equality is heard. Rosewood. What are we going to do different? Running into a Target and burning anything and stealing stuff and doing all these things. Yeah, I understand that you're upset. I get it. But where are the leaders? What are we going to do? This next generation of Black men that are growing. Because soon we're going to be the ancestors. I mean, I'm in my mid-30s. So, you know, people that are in their mid-30s, 40s, 50s, you know, we're at that place where we're basically paving the way for our children. So what are we doing to make it different? The same way that our ancestors paved the way for us. And they paved the way for us because they wanted us to know that, listen, the fight is never going to stop. Don't get comfortable. Always have a plan. Update the plan. Don't get comfortable. We didn't do what we did for you to get comfortable. We did what we did to prove to you that there is a way out. But even when you're out, you have to stay out. Don't be blinded by the glitter. Because you're gold. Have a great day, everyone. I hope that this message wasn't offensive to anyone. It's supposed to bring thought, deep thought, with all the chaos that's going on today. Love you all. Zoe out.